Our show this week is about a little bookshop that is more than a bookshop. My guest this week is Lisa Urich. She's the executive director of the Pliny Downtown Bookshop. And Ashley Michael, she's the co-founder and the manager for the bookshop. And we talk about a bookshop, Lisa, but it's a lot more than a bookshop. When I think back where you started Pliny at and all the changes that you've made and the expansions you've made, it's been a great thing for our community. So let me say up front, thank you for having the idea and the forethought to do something like this for our community.
Well, thank you for having us and the work that you do for our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're very much in the same spirit. The work you do is bigger than being a mayor.
Well, we all love, we love our community, though, yeah. Don't we?
You love your community, and so you're at all these events, and you're doing all the things. I mean, you show up in ways and stretch the office in ways that I think are, you know, not typical. And
well,
because
you.
Of that, our community has a closeness, and our community works collaboratively. And, you know, that's what we're hoping to do with this nonprofit with Plenty. Mm-hmm. So.
The community we live in, we don't take it for granted, I assure you, but everyone gets along so well. I mean, city mayors, county mayors, mm-hmm. elected officials, chamber, nonprofits, businesses. We try to make it a very business-friendly environment. You don't see that in a lot of communities. I travel across the state to the mayor meetings, and there's places that the mayors don't even talk to each other.
Oh, yeah,
which
results
is sad,
not
isn't?
Typical.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that gives us, and really having a bookshop that is connected to our idea with the bookshop is to aggressively support and undergird, get under every good thing in Cookeville that we can, and to really build book mm-hmm. culture and reading, an interest in not only reading, but an interest in each other, an interest in community. And that's why we are a community-centric place. But as you said, much more than a bookshop, because we're partnering with the schools, partnering with the libraries, partnering with the Ryan Dalton's project.
Yeah.
You know, he found the book in the bookshop and then he took off, and he is amazing with this Anxious Generation and this community-wide read that's going on. And that's one example of hundreds that, mm-hmm. that we've got coming up this week. Is it this week? That the walk, the Libro walk with?
Oh, no, that's in a few weeks. We're doing an audiobook walk. So just trying to do all kinds of different ways to bring books in whatever format people are willing to take them to really encourage community and connection. So we're going to go take a walk while we listen to books.
We all have changed. I mean, we go back to basically most time, if you were interested in books, it was the library.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Little Pliny Bookshop, and this, you're in your third location now, right, Lisa?
Third location.
Third and final.
Well, now wait a minute. Oh, Ashley.
We both hope that this is third and final.
About the new place.
Yeah, right. We really hope. We went in the first place on spring mm-hmm. and realized quickly there was a water issue there. Mm-hmm. We had 7 floods really right away.
Wow.
And that's been fixed just now, but we knew that it would be about 3 years before that could probably get fixed.
Yeah.
And that would not be a good spot for us. But we made the difficult decision with the help of some local folks who helped us find a space on Broad. And it was a smaller space, but it really, across from Crawdaddy's, but it was such a lovely community, and it worked really well for us. And it really helped us connect, especially with visitors and mm-hmm. with people who serendipitously, you know, most of the people who walk in our bookshop say two things. One, I didn't know there was a bookshop. And two, I'm not really a reader. So we get a lot of people who don't consider themselves readers, probably the majority, mm-hmm. which is part of the reason that we exist, because reading is so, so good for us. It's good for our health. It's good for our relationships. In reading The Anxious Generation, we're seeing the crisis that we're in with the cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you read that book?
Just bits and pieces. I hadn't got all of it, but that's a big deal, and, mm-hmm. and I don't know why it took us so long to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know COVID really messed things up, okay? You got kids staying at home and being in on videos and doing Zoom calls with teachers and all those kind of things. But we didn't have all that stuff. I know, of course, I'm a lot older than y'all growing up, but even, you know, think about having cell phones in schools. That's just crazy. And you're a part of that. And we're going to talk about that as we get on in the other segments. First, I want to talk about, you're having a big I don't know if you call it a gala. I mean, we've been talking about what's the professional
name. Gala.
Gala.
Could be gala.
So,
what do you think, Ashley?
I do think gala, but I think I'm outnumbered in that. It's all right, though.
You fixed to have a big event at the convention center. Let's talk about that and what's going on with it.
That is exciting. Yeah. So we just love to celebrate. It's multifaceted, but it's really just a big celebration of books and literacy and coming together as a community. It really brings together all sorts of people from all walks in life of the community. And we talk and share about what we've been able to do thanks to the community support throughout the year with getting books in different places and just looking ahead to what we continue to hope to do. But we always have a fun theme.
And this year's, it's November 8th.
Yes.
November 8th.
At the new convention center.
At the new convention center. So that'll be a new, last year we did our first ever Gala Gala Gala. Our first ever event, we did it at the Leslie Town Center, and it was a Three Musketeers themed. I've been to a lot of good things in Cookeville.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of sweet spaces in Cookeville, but I don't think, and I'll get teary talking about it, I don't think I have ever experienced so much love in one room and so much. It was just special. Our landlord, who is a friend, you know, he came to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "I have never experienced anything like this. And thank you for what you're doing." And I said, "It's us. We're all doing it together."
Team effort.
It was really sweet. People dressed up in costume, and people dressed up in formal wear, and it's a gala, which all just means fundraiser.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
But it's because we need the community's support in order to do the big work that we're trying to do. We do hundreds of events every year, and they're free for our community. They're designed. We gift thousands of books. We partner with nonprofits and gift books into those spaces that are curated for the special needs of each nonprofit and many other things. So those things are all much bigger than a bookshop, which is an unlikely financial proposition all by itself.
Right.
So we need the funds. We've had grant funds. That's a piece of it. And the awareness of what we're doing and what we're trying to do, because it takes all of us, because contribution is a part of it too, in terms of bringing yourself, bringing your interests, bringing your talents. And we had, and this year we have about 100 tickets left, I think, roughly.
Wow, but you've already done well.
Yes, it's like 240 already there, and people are going to Spotlight and getting costumes. It's Jane Austen's 250th birthday. Jane Austen is a famous English writer.
Right.
Classic writer, Pride and Prejudice, Emma, Sense and Sensibility. And so it's a novel affair in a Jane Austen spirit. And we're going to have, the quartet, Rachel Smalling and her friends are doing a little quartet. We'll have strings, we'll have mocktails and cocktails, and we'll have a fine dinner. We have Cavo Entertainment is bringing lights, and Serena Wells is going to bring all kinds of greenery. And we have this great committee, Angie Wells and Angie Griffin and Jessica Epifanzi. And
put
Andrea
all those
Berkshop,
ladies together. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable.
They are unbelievable. And Allie Olson is leading. So we have this great gala committee, and we're going to just make it magical in the space. We'll have a performance dance. We'll have a great dinner. We'll have an auction. And last year we danced until the last minute. And we have a silent
really
auction.
Fun.
Jessica's doing the silent auction, and I've never seen a silent auction like that. People were, Amy New was like fighting over something with somebody else.
I want this. So it's November 8th at the convention center. It starts at about 6?
Yes,
it starts at 6, and you can go online to Plenty Bookshop.
Yes, plentybookshop.com/gala.
To get tickets.
If you look at plentybookshop.com, you can find it there. You look at events, or you can do /gala, and you'll get right there, and you can get tickets and come. And we hope everyone does. Last year, we had nonprofits. We had people who are very philanthropically oriented, who are big givers. We had people who were book clubs. And it was part of the sweetness was that it's this mix of Cookeville that normally doesn't get in the same room at the same time. And that's the whole idea of the bookshop, is that we're bringing people together in ways that they don't normally get together.
Right.
Helping them find new friendships. And we say that our bookshop is like Mr. Rogers and Dolly Parton had a baby. Maybe in Switzerland. But we're trying to bring Mr. Rogers' neighborhood to life and you know, where you find new friends and you really do get to know your neighbors. You know, we work on that all the time.
And you're supporting a great cause. You're supporting the bookstore and all the things that you're doing. And we're going to talk about a lot of those extra things. You're more than a bookshop. We're going to talk about those in the next segment. So stay with us. We got to take a break. Hope you're having a great week. Our show this week, it's about the Pliny Downtown Bookshop. You think about it as a bookstore, but it's a lot more than that. And I've got Lisa Urich and Ashley Michael with the bookshop, and we're talking about, first, we want to mention what we did in the last segment about the gala that's coming up at the Putnam County Convention Center, November the 8th. Mm-hmm. You're doing a fundraiser. If they want tickets, they can go to plentybookshop.com. The reason you're doing the fundraiser is, Lisa, you're a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of bookstores, and most of the bookstores that you see are for profit. They're there to mm-hmm. make a profit. You chose not to be.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What made you do that?
I love that question, and thank you for asking it. And it's really one of the main reasons we're doing a gala, is to make sure that we have a shared awareness that it is a nonprofit. And as a nonprofit, it's an effort. It's an initiative. It's a quest that is bigger than a retail space. When you plant a tree, you could plant it in your front yard and you could take the fruit off of it.
Right.
Or you could plant it in a public park and you could share the fruit with everybody. And we planted this tree in a public park because we wanted it to belong to everybody. And we wanted everybody to share in tending it and share in sitting under it and share in its fruits. So in that way, and like a tree, we have many branches. We have like 9 branches into the schools, branches into the libraries. By being a nonprofit, we can collaborate on grants and qualify for grants. We can use volunteer efforts to expand our efforts. We can be a true community support and force, hopefully, to really put energy behind other people's efforts. So we don't have to come up with all the good ideas, although Ashley comes up with so many good ideas. And we love doing the ideas that Ashley and our great staff come up with. And what's more fun even for me is to see a community member who has a great idea that we can undergird and that we can support. And so that happens. So that's the being a nonprofit gives us all those choices. My husband Dave and I have set up an irrevocable trust and a big portion of our whatever we leave this earth with, but we're doing it while we're living, have a trust for Plenty that will be in perpetuity for the next 200 years. And so literacy has always been on my heart and mind since I was like, I don't know why, but since I was like 11 years old, I've been aware that some people struggle to read in a way that makes them comfortable in life. And right now, today, as we sit here, 3 in 10 parents cannot comfortably read a children's book to a child.
That's sad, isn't it?
It's hard, and it's something we can change. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of adults, they may get through high school or whatever and secretly just feel uncomfortable with reading and kind of push it away. And that doesn't have to stay that way. You know, we love helping adults find their way back into reading. When you're really interested in something, it helps a lot. And so most of the people who come into the bookshop, and we call it a shop rather than a store, because a store is more that retail idea and storing. But the shop is really designed for people to browse and have an experience and to linger. And
it's
that's
more than a book. Yeah.
So a bookshop is like this really great place that you can come together, and the browse idea of discovery is really important there.
Well, and so you're like any other nonprofit, though. You got to raise funds to be able to do it. If you're not for profit and you're a nonprofit, you got to raise funds. So that's what this gala is about on November the 8th. So go to the website and check it out. There's only about 100 tickets left or so.
We have such wonderful supporters. They're excited. And we make about 60% of what we need out of the sales from the bookshop. But one of the best ways that people can support us, like we were talking with the Rotary, and they buy books every year. They're buying books for, well, if you buy it through a national chain, that chain gets that money. Or if you buy them through Amazon, the money never hits here.
Right.
But if you buy the books through Plenty, you're paying the same for them. Or close. And all of the proceeds stay here and create programming here.
Mm-hmm. You're helping your organization or whatever it is with the right book. So it does
double
the good.
Well, and the right books, like, you know, curating books for specific causes. Mm-hmm. Like if you're dealing with children's advocacy, those children have been abused and have been through such hardship. Finding the right book that's going to be helpful is really important. One of the packages people will be bidding on this year at the gala, and it's something that can happen before or after. You know, Ellie Hazelwood, Susan Luna Hazelwood's daughter, she went through cancer in her early hood, and
she's a miracle to be
she
here.
She is a miracle to be
sweet
here.
Sweet little girl.
And she said that, and she loves the bookshop.
Yeah.
And she loves books. And Susan and said that books really helped.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we want to do is we want to create Ellie's bookshelf, 4 or 5 books for every child that's diagnosed with cancer. And there are 47 children diagnosed with cancer every day just in Tennessee.
Crazy.
So if we can help all 47 of those families for just one day with 4 or 5 curated books, it's a way to double the difference that you're making. So whatever cause you care about, we can make sure that the right kinds of books, the right messages are going into those places, and books can be helpful.
That is great. I want to, in the 2-3 minutes we got left in this segment, I want to get into another topic that you're really big in right now, and that's the anxious generation, right?
Yes.
Ashley?
We are big into that right now.
So tell our listeners and viewers about what that is.
Yes. Yeah, so I have been so excited about this. I'm a parent myself. I have 4 kids all in school, elementary, middle, and high.
Bless
we are
you.
Representing them all. Takes a long time to pick everybody up at the end of the day. But so this book, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, came out, I think, maybe 2 years ago. And I didn't think much of it, but then Ryan Dalton brought this up to the forefront of our community, and I read it, and I just, at the same time, I felt astounded reading the impact that screens have had on childhood, and we know it. On one hand, it's like, okay, this isn't shocking. And then on the other hand, you think, how could this be? I mean, the statistics of, you know, the rates of depression and anxiety in our children and all these things, and the decrease in just play. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and, you know, played outside all day until it was dark. And, you know, our kids just don't go outside and play anymore. And the swapping of playing in your childhood then to screens-based childhood. You know, on one hand, you are feeling all those feelings, but then there is this amazing message of hope in this book and in this whole movement that we're doing to say, this is the time. It's not too late. Let's do something about it for ourselves, for our kids, for the future generations. Really, it's something that we all need to learn to untether ourselves.
Oh, we're,
you know,
we're so connected anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't like looking at my little pop-up that tells me how many hours I've been on my phone. I mean, we're so connected.
I know. It's terrible. when you get that report.
The average child is spending 9 hours a day
in
addition to school on their phone. 9 hours a day. That's the average. Some are doing more. Some are doing less. But 9 hours. So they're losing sleep, focus, all the things.
And with social media.
Right.
I mean, it's just messing with their minds, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, those algorithms that those companies have of what they're pushing onto those kids. And it's crazy.
Well, and we're doing good things as a community. You've been part of, I mean.
I'm really proud of our community.
I am too.
I'm
proud of our school system.
Yeah.
Put
taking
those phones
the phones
away.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took us so long to decide to do that.
You said you had a sister, and we've heard lots of reports from teachers. What did your sister?
Yeah, my sister's a teacher, and she talked about how great it is with the kids and how they're talking to each other now.
Yeah.
Grades are better. I've talked to some of the teachers here in our local school system, and they're just saying it's just great. I mean, the kids are paying attention.
Yeah.
They're focused. They're making better grades. Again, I just don't know why it took us so long to wake up to do that.
Me neither, but I'm glad it did. And I hope that we can be a catalyst community to see this ripple across the nation, really. I mean,
When I tell people about what we're doing, I mean, how many readers do we have? How many books do you think?
Well, we've sold about 600 copies. And I know that the library has a wait list a mile long for the many copies that they have,
and some
people are sharing copies,
and
yes, audiobooks that we've sold of it. So
and audio is something to mention. A lot of people have Audible, which is an Amazon product, but if you go to Libro FM or look
on our website
you can see how you can get audiobooks and still support your local bookshop. It costs the same, and the nice thing is you download those books, you own those books, so they're not in a library that can be taken away from you. They're downloaded and they're beautiful, so that's another way that people are accessing the book. And I think we've got about 1,000 readers.
That's amazing.
Yes.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And
we're going to talk more about that, but we got to take a break. Stay with us. Hope you're having a great week. Our show this week, one of our local attractions that's turned into a big deal. It's the Downtown Plenty Bookshop. I've got co-founder and the manager, Ashley Michael, and then the brains behind this, Lisa Urich.
I think I can accept that, Mike.
But you're being modest, isn't she, Ashley?
She's amazing.
She is amazing.
Amazing.
We were talking, first we'll mention
the gala. We're having a gala for awareness about Plenty Bookshop, and the awareness is important, not because you're aware of what we're doing, but aware of what we're doing, what as a community is happening through the bookshop. Mm-hmm. All community is local, and our bookshop is for and by the community.
This is nonprofit.
It's a full nonprofit. And so that's part of the awareness. And we fund about 60% of our work through sales through the bookshop. We would love for folks to rethink some of the purchases they're making from Amazon or other places.
Buy local.
Or giving and buy that local and know that that's going to feed gifting of books into other nonprofits. One of our fun ones was Sarah took some books over to the animal shelter. They take books into the schools. They read with the children. Tennessee and Kentucky provide more dogs nationally than any other two states because some people aren't taking as good care about their pets.
Right.
But if we raise a whole generation that's aware of it in a different way because they were read a story, we've changed something.
Yeah, we changed it.
So the gala is going to be November 8th at the Convention Center. It'll be fun to be in that space.
It's a great space.
Jane Austen novel affair. So Jane Austen's one of my favorite authors.
Yeah.
She's celebrating her 250th birthday, and they are having Jane Austen events all over the world. You can go to London, you can go to Prague,
yes.
You can go anywhere in the world, and we're having our own here in Cookeville.
That is great. And it starts at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
There's still some tickets available at plentybookshop.com.
That's right. And Forward Gala. So love to have everybody there. And you can dress in costume. Spotlight Costumes is helping us. Amy Ng is doing a wonderful job. Or you can just dress your fanciest and we'll have plenty to eat and lots of good time.
That's great.
And last year was just one of the sweetest events and we decided it was worth doing this again. It's not the most efficient way to raise funds, but it is a great way to build community.
Bring the community together.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to do.
And we were talking earlier, we've been talking about the anxious generation and getting our kids away from these cell phones and tablets and computers and everything. We talked about the problem.
Right.
I think we come up with we're solving it, limiting the amount that they're on it. Let's talk about what is there to offer in place of that we can help our children grow and mature better.
Yeah. That's a great question, because if you take it away, now there's this big empty gap of, the 9 hours that they were on screen, supposedly. Well, now what are they going to do? It's like we have to relearn what should come naturally.
Well, we used to play outside.
Right.
What happened to that?
Right.
Yeah.
And part of what the book talks about, too, is this whole idea of just unstructured play is sort of what it calls it. But really, it's just sending the kids outside, go figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, go be bored and problem solve and figure it out.
And that's so important and so good
for us developmentally, or we would say too, like, have books in your home and have them out where somebody can just pick one up and read it. It's important to use your library, but it's also important to have books in your home.
Reading to your kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I read to my daughter. I read to my granddaughter. That's part of making sure that you're getting them started on the right path, isn't it, at a young age?
Yeah. 60% of poverty households don't have a single book in the house.
That's sad, isn't it?
And especially because we know the research says, like Ashley's referencing, having books in the home, and I don't know if the number is 150 or 300, but having books in the home is the key differentiator in academic success. No matter your socioeconomic level, no matter whether you're being raised by two parents or one or grandparents or something else, having books in the home is one of the great equalizers. It helps.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we do a little segment called Books Are the Best Gifts.
Yeah.
Because we do new books in the bookshop because we want books to be these keepable treasures that, you can get a book, you give a card, and we have cards, but you give a card at a birthday, but how nice to give and you started this, you pick a book for every child's birthday.
I've always loved books. Yeah, so the idea was if I can gift my child a book that we've written a message in, my husband and I, then they also are understanding this is a special thing. This is something that I want to keep.
And you have people who are at the birthday party all write in the book, and so then they become these keepable treasures.
It's a memory.
You get 18 years of memories of books that were written in. And darn, I forgot to do that for my granddaughter's birthday.
It's okay. You can back backlog.
I'm going to backlog. I'm going to do a Christmas book. It's not too late. It's still September.
Well, in your free time, Lisa.
We're doing a lot of what else. We did, I haven't counted this year, but last year it was 447 free events, mostly.
We do. A lot of events. It all goes toward this idea of books and reading and literacy. This is important and so good for us and for our community in so many ways. So, yeah, we bring in authors, which is exciting. We have book clubs that meet regularly. We do things with the schools, and we develop give subscriptions that you can give to your child to make books feel exciting. You know, they can get it in the mail. Or
we've been working with all of the elementary librarians, mm-hmm. helping them get all their creative juices flowing and think about display in the library and getting kids engaged in books because they're seeing them in creative ways.
That is great.
You do writers' workshops.
We do.
A lot of writers, publishers, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Poetry. Do a poetry night.
And we just started an Unbooked and Unplugged, which is a singer-songwriter night at the bookshop. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. And you have a book club that is about a cookbook.
Yes.
So everybody cooks
quarterly.
Out of the cookbook and comes
and
together.
We see together. You should join.
If you need someone to taste some of your dishes, let me know.
It's a lot of fun.
Available.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about, you are writing a book. You're building
Lisa.
I don't know how you find the time to do all you do. A lot of folks may not know, but you and your husband own Franklin Fixtures here, Cookeville. Great business. You got the bookshop. You're all involved in the community with all these things, but you're writing a book. So tell us about that.
Yeah, Dave and I do stay really busy. But that's the thing. Dave and I work as a team. Ashley and I work as a team. Dave and Ashley and I work as a team. And then we have this great team around us. So there's a lot of synergy you can get when people are like-minded and thinking and doing. So that's my blessing and privilege. I'm working on a book called The Quiet Carpenters, Building Communities Through Bookshops. So it's about how bookshops have always helped us find new ideas and find, you know, bookshop. I got to go to England over the summer and do some research with one of my favorite authors, Rutus Apetys.
Yeah.
We were there at the same time. We didn't research together, but I got into this Bodleian Library at Oxford, and it was so exciting. But I learned that, you know, 300 years ago, bookshops were the start of Stoic wisdom. Stoic wisdom is that the founding fathers were studying this philosophy when they came up, you know, with the Republic and with the very foundations of our country. Napoleon was kind of famously afraid of bookshops. It was kind of, the bookshops have always been this quiet influence. And so I chose The Quiet Carpenters because it's the idea of building something together. And what are we building? We're building communities through bookshops. And everybody's like, a bookshop can build a community? Yeah. In a quiet and easy and inconspicuous kind of way. We see it every day. It's lovely.
Well, I'm excited to be able to see that, and that's just great. That's just great, and thank you for what you do for our community. I mean, I think about your bookshop, and it's more, as you said, it's a location. It's a place for folks to go and to mingle and to build friendships
That's our theme this month.
Yeah,
books help you build friendships.
Yeah, well, y'all are doing a great job, and I appreciate what y'all do. Don't forget, November the 8th, they're having a big gala at the Convention Center. Starts at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets, plentybookshop.com. That's our show for this week. Thanks for joining us. Hope you'll join us every week. I'm your host, County Mayor Randy Porter, hoping that God will continue to bless our great community.